Father, once again, I just sense the excitement that you have in the heavenly realms there for us as you share and again just give revelation and by your Holy Spirit just really enable us to be able to receive from you this morning. We want to thank you for your joy in communicating with us, your incredible joy and just sharing with us your love story through your son Jesus, your goodness through your son Jesus, and everything about yourself that you've made known through your son and by the Holy Spirit. We can know it. We can live in that reality. It's not just a fridge magnet, but it's our reality. And you're helping us to be established in that. So Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for the mothers, Father. We want to thank you for how you are so good, and particularly in the way you answer the prayers of mothers, the way you empower them and the wisdom and the load that they carry. It's unbelievable, but your grace upon the mothers. And we want to thank you for your grace enabling them to carry many loads that I don't think any man can carry. So we want to thank you, Father, for the women, for your grace upon their lives. And so this morning, as we just spend time again with you, Father, we want to thank you as your Holy Spirit just really just helps the fact that his life is in us, for that to be established in us. And we want to thank you for this in Jesus and through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh. Okay, guys, we're going to carry on where we left off last Sunday. And again, it's I have to repeat myself a little bit now because everything is about the law of the Spirit of life, for that to be so established within you and I as believers, and for those that you're going to be sharing and just discipling and so forth. And this is a key for the believer. Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit, and you get born again. This is how it all began, and this is how we are called to live, because we received the Holy Spirit and we're called to live and to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And we sort of get sidetracked from that truth, and we're just getting back to that foundation. And so we're busy with that over there. Now, I wanted to share some scriptures here to bring. We're going to be reading Romans 8 again, looking at basically the first four verses. And why I'm spending a bit of time in this first four verses, because it's the rest of Romans 8 flows out of the life of the Spirit. It's outworking of the law of the Spirit of life that has set us free from the law of sin and death. And you'll see that as we go on, this Romans 8 brings in everything from what we've looked at from chapter 1 right through. It just brings in and it's highlighting all of that all the time. And it's just reaffirming everything that has been written up until this chapter 8 in Romans. And so in verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation. And I like the word now, because it's not speaking just about the future, it's speaking about a now reality as well. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so the whole of Romans chapter 8 is again the contrast about living in the flesh, those living in the Spirit, and the outworking of that. And it's an incredible revelation of the life in the Spirit, and that's what we're going into now a little bit more as we go on there. But to start off with this, let's just quickly go back to Romans 7, because in Romans 7, remember, he spoke, he began the beginning of that chapter using the illustration of the marriage and the law of marriage. And if you're married and you have an affair with someone else, you're an adulteress. And that, but if your husband dies, you are free to get married. And in speaking about the authority of the law and being bound to that law, and if you step out of that law, there's the condemnation, there is the guilt, there is that, the consequences of that. And then Paul writes there, but in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have died to the authority of the law. And then the rest of the chapter, he then begins to open up what the law does, and what it cannot do. And so throughout Romans 7, it's that reality of the law. The law is spiritual. The law is holy. The law is righteous. It's good and it's very powerful. And so he's sharing there and has a role. And the role of the law was to make people sin, conscious of what sin really is. He says there, nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. And so, as we see there, that apart from the law, sin is dead. And as I heard the law, as I heard the Ten Commandments, for instance, suddenly sin came alive. Sin sprang. So those Ten Commandments like triggered off the life of sin in me, and it just consumed me, and there's no escape from it there. And so he's going on and he's sharing about that. And then we saw there that in verse 21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And so he described that conflict. So he's describing exactly what the law is required to do, making people aware of what sin is, but also making them realize that they cannot save themselves, because although they now come aware that the law of God is good, inside of them, in their body, there is this conflict, there is this rebelliousness against that, and they are captured by that, and there's no ways that they can fulfill the law, and so there's that conflict within man. And then he says over there, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death. And then he said, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so chapter 8 now, he's explaining, he's giving the understanding of that, what Paul is saying of there, what a wretched man am I, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. And then he goes on, and that's why he comes to chapter 8. And then in chapter 8, he starts to speak about there's now no condemnation, and he carries on. And he then ends the chapter, and this is very important as we will get more understanding as we go on there. But he ends the chapter in verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights or depths or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what, you see, who's going to rescue me from this? And then he speaks, but now there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. And so he concludes and he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And what I really believe, it's for this present moment, what our Father is really busy doing in our lives right now, is enabling us to be able to move beyond scriptures that's just very, like I often use that word, fridge magnet, where it's out over there, and he wants us to live in the reality of this truth. And so that's why we ask the questions. you see, we are more than conquerors. For instance, neither present nor future nor any powers. And if you just start to look at what we've been taught so far, we look at the power of sin. That's, we're more than conquerors over there in Christ Jesus. We look at the power of the law. We are more than conquerors. We look at the power of the law of sin operating within our bodies. We are more than conquerors. And now he's opening up and he's giving us a deeper meaning of what it means to be a conqueror. And he's showing us, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, the manifestation, because it's because of the Spirit of God in us that this becomes our reality. And so this is the life. This is the consequences of simply receiving by faith the fact that the Holy Spirit is operating, the law, the life of the Holy Spirit is actively operating in our lives. And there comes a place of tremendous rest when we just simply receive by faith what God is showing us here in Romans chapter 8. Okay, so we're on that journey now. We looked at in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in this over here, condemnation, what is condemnation? Condemnation is basically, there's been in a law court, there's been an investigation, and the person is found to have or is guilty of breaking that law, whatever it may be, whether it's work or in the legal side, whatever the case may be. But then there's a consequence, then there's the verdict, then there's the punishment. And here we're dealing with the law. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have broken the law. None of us are able to keep the Ten Commandments. We may have the desire, but because of the law of that sinful nature operating in mankind, that law was more powerful and it captured us there. And so we weren't able to fulfill the Ten Commandments 100% from the day we were born until the day we die. It's impossible. And so in Christ, he then puts the statement, we are in Christ, there's no condemnation. Now, it's not just the future. Now in the now reality, as well as our future reality, there is no condemnation because of what Christ has done. And then he goes on verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, the original is that because the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has set us free. Now, we want to stop over here because again, it's so easy just to read past us over there. But let's go back to our Lord Jesus. Remember Jesus is speaking in John chapter 8, and he's speaking to the religious community, the Jewish community over there, and they are all typically arguing with Jesus and so forth. And Jesus says over there that basically that he's speaking about truth. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus is speaking about a freedom over here. And remember, they answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And then Jesus replied, verily, truly, I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in my father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. And he's speaking about their father as being Satan. And so here we see that right here Jesus is speaking about a freedom from being a slave to sin. And a slave has no permanent place in the family of God. Now, as we go in Romans chapter 8, we will see that the same spirit of life that was in our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have received that same Spirit. So we have a permanent place in the kingdom of God because we are no longer a slave to sin. You see, so there's the guarantee of our permanent place as a child of God because we have received the Spirit of sonship. We have received the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus speaks, and so Paul is just really just opening up what Jesus actually taught and communicated to the people and what he has done in his death and resurrection. And so we see over here, because through Christ Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord that's in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life, has freed us from the law of sin and death. Another scripture that we often quote, but now the next time we quote this, we're going to have a deeper understanding and awareness, so we're able now to receive by faith the truth of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, we often quote this there in verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, all of a sudden now, when we understand the context, but now in Christ Jesus, that same Spirit of God that was in Christ Jesus, that is operating in him, imparting the life all the time, that same Spirit is in you and I. And so that freedom, so the same Spirit of God that was in Christ is in us, and his ministry, the law, his life within you and I is total freedom, is to bring in the freedom that our Lord Jesus Christ died to give to you and I. And so it's a simple faith acceptance. Just receiving it by faith and beginning to renew our mind and to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Your law within me is actively changing my life. Your life in me is actually changing my mind. You are doing something in my soul dimension. You are doing something in my body. And it's a place of tremendous rest, because when we start to appropriate this more and more by faith and we get established in this, everything about your ministry, everything about being a husband, a mother, a father, being a child, all of that there, now you become very conscious of the working of the Holy Spirit inside. And that is the life. That is the operating in the realm of grace, in the realm of the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that's the breakthrough. That's where you experience the fruit that Paul writes over there. We've been raised with Christ now in order to bear fruit for God. Because it's the life of the Spirit. That's what the fruit is all about. And that's the freedom. And that's when you and I enter into that place of rest and free from the striving, because you are totally confident in the law of the Holy Spirit that's actually operating within every believer. It's a reality, but it takes a faith and it just, to simply receive it and to believe it and to say, and to begin to get into agreement with that there. And you start to experience the manifestation of that. Okay. So here we see there that the law of the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who gives us life, okay, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now, we've looked at this quite a bit, and we're going to be looking at it as we go on in Romans chapter 8. But we see over here, verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Or God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. Okay? As the original shares that over there. What do we see here? Here we start to see something profound. First of all, for what the law was powerless to do. The law itself is not powerless. Okay? The flesh is the weak factor in all of us there. Remember, the law of God is alive. Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. You see, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eye of him to whom we must give account. And so we've seen very clearly there in Romans chapter 7, when a person hears the law, the life of the law, the power of the law, the sharpness of the law is very active, so they become conscious of sin. Sin comes alive, and there's a reality that the law is good, but I'm a sinner. And so the law is doing its thing. It's, the law is not powerless. The law is powerful. It's God's word, and that. But Paul, as Paul writes over there, it couldn't do what it was meant to do in bringing in life and bringing in righteousness, because the power of sin is operating in mankind. And that's the weak factor. And if we go back to Romans chapter 7, that's the conflict. This is law in my mind. I want to do the will of God, but in my flesh, in my body, there's this law of sin and death operating in me, and it's captured me, and there's no ways I can do that. Who's going to rescue me? Well, God says, I'm going to rescue you. God says, I cannot come down. I as spirit cannot rescue you. I've got to come down as a human. I've got to come down as a man. And that's what starts to take place over here. Because now we need human flesh, someone that's human, that is able to be able to allow what the law was meant to do to be accomplished in his life. And that's Jesus Christ. So he is now coming down to do what you and I could not do. And so that's why God sent his son. And so we see that there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Very, very, very important. So on the earth, Jesus did not use the divine aspect of his, of who he is, to cop out from the human reality. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death to the cross. So here we see that what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Again, we read this quickly, but let's just stop, because we see over here, this is what God did. This is what God has done. And remember in Romans chapter 5, we read over there concerning this reality. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, that conflict, we become aware that we are full of sin. We've become aware of all those things over there. But now we just begin to realize over here that we are powerless. We can't save ourselves. Who's going to rescue us? Well, God said, I've got the answer. I've come to rescue you. What is salvation? I'm sending my son Jesus Christ to take us out, to deliver us out from the consequences of sin and all of that. And so, he said, it's through my son, Jesus Christ, because that's the gospel. That's the good news. It's all about his son, Jesus. And he goes on and he says, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, but for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it carries on. And that's what Paul is continuing over here. God did this because we were weak, because we could not save ourselves. We could not have victory over the power of sin operating in us. No matter how strong our willpower is, it's not going to be it's not going to work. So God says, let me come down as a man in my son Jesus Christ. So as a man in the flesh, he's going to come and he's going to fulfill the law 100%, never breaking the law. He's going to fulfill all the requirements of the law. Okay. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. He's taken our place. He's done it for you and I. That's why it's grace. And then he goes, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Now, what's important to understand is that when you and I get born again, sin is not taken out of our bodies. You see, our spirit is perfect, but the sin is still in our body. And we've seen that there in Romans chapter 6, speaking about the body of sin. Okay. And we're going to come to this now, because now Jesus has done something that you and I could never have done. He's done it for us. And so it goes on. And so he, Jesus, condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So once again, we're getting back to the reality of flesh gives birth to flesh. Okay. And that's the people in Adam. We have been born again. And what happened? We are now in Christ Jesus. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So he's speaking about us now who are in Christ Jesus. And everything that Christ has done has been imputed to you and I. It's been credited. That which Jesus has done now belongs to you and I who are in him, who now live according to the Spirit. And as we live according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation because Christ has fulfilled the law. Condemnation comes because of breaking a law. Now that we're in Christ, we have not broken a law because we receive Christ's righteousness. He fulfilled the law. And so we are in him. Therefore, there's no condemnation. Now, because we are in Christ Jesus, now the very law of the Spirit of life empowers us and keeps us free, has set us free, so that no longer is that sin in our body has authority over us. We are free from that power. We are totally free from that law that was operating within us as human beings. We are free from that law because now there's a new law operating us because we are in the Spirit, because we're in Christ Jesus. See, and that's the agreement. That's why Paul writes again in Romans chapter 6, again, now consider, now likewise, reckon yourself dead to in Christ Jesus, but alive in him. This is again, he's just building on that. He's continuing in that all the time. And so he condemns sin. Christ, that's what Christ did. He, it's almost like a court case where you look at sin being personified, where Jesus comes and he fulfills the law totally. And as he fulfills this law totally, the authority that sin had in humanity, Jesus now in his death, because Jesus fulfilled the law, he says to that sin, you are now condemned. You have been dethroned. You no longer have your rule in humanity in who are in me, because you don't have rule in me. I've overcome you. So I'm condemning you. You've got no more authority in the life of the new creation man in me. And so he's condemning that sin over there. It's got no more voice because Christ has now fulfilled the law. And so we are in him. And so totally there's no more condemnation. That's why sin is condemned, because sin is no longer our reality, in Christ Jesus. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live. Okay. And so that righteous requirements of the law that Christ filled, that now has been credited to you and I, been fully met. Now let's go deeper, because now we need to ask some questions. Here we have Jesus who is born. He does not have the sinful nature. Jesus does not have the law of sin and death operating within him. Jesus only has the sinless nature. Jesus only has the law of the Spirit of life operating in him. And now we may say, okay, he's come as a human, but why? How can he help us? How can he help us in our struggle? Because we have got sin operating in our bodies. We know that battle. We know all of that law operating within us. Jesus has not got that. Well, the reality of this is that Jesus did not come to deal with the symptoms. He came to deal with the root cause so that the symptoms do not happen. It is the law that gives sin its power. Remember, we looked there in Romans chapter 7 that he goes and Paul writes up there that I didn't know what sin was until I heard the law. And let me just read those scriptures over there. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. And so here we have this incredible reality that when we hear the law of God, sin comes alive. Sin's always been over there, but sin now begins to manifest like crazy and become very conscious that we are actually a sinner when we hear the law of God. That's why the law of God is good, is righteous. And so now we've got this incredible truth over here that Jesus came in a man, but he doesn't have that law of sin operating in him, only the law of the Spirit. And so Jesus now starts his earthly life. He's got the same weaknesses as humanity. He gets hungry, he gets tired, that kind of weaknesses, but he doesn't have the sinful weaknesses because in him there's no sin. So now Jesus, if you look at his temptation at his baptism, what did he say to John? John said, Jesus, you need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, this needs to be done in order for the requirements of the law. Everything Jesus is doing is to fulfill the requirements of his Father. It's fulfilling the law. It's keeping the law. It's keeping the will of God. Everything there. So even in the baptism there, we see him fulfilling the requirements of his Father. Total obedience. We see there at the temptation. What was the temptation of Jesus all about? The temptation there is the enemy wanting to get Jesus to disobey and break the law of God, because he also knew that the power of sin is the law. So if he could get Jesus to disobey his Father, God the Father, then there would be no answer. Sin will not be condemned in mankind. So that's the temptation. And we see there where Satan leaves Jesus until an opportune time. In other words, a time comes when Satan thinks, okay, this again, Christ is vulnerable. This is my opportune time to tempt him. And so throughout his life, Satan continually looked for that opportune time to tempt Jesus, to try and get Jesus to disobey his Father. Okay? So that Jesus could not condemn sin in the law, because he would have also been like Adam. Adam was born without sin, Christ born without sin. But Adam was deceived, Adam and Eve, and so they broke the law, and sin now came and ruled. Okay? And the same thing with Satan trying to get Jesus as man to, as he did with Eve and Adam, to break the law so that once again sin ruled and there would be no salvation. So we've got to see this reality of what our Lord Jesus is doing. The Garden of Gethsemane is another example. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Totally obedient to God, fulfilling the law so that he, in his total obedience, condemns sin. Okay? And now we have received that by him. So when we get to a portion like Galatians chapter 4, and we read a scripture again. And again, God wants us to get a better understanding and an appreciation of the Word of God. And he says over there, what I'm saying, as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. Now, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. We are more than conquerors. Okay, there's no powers, there's no authorities that holds us in Christ Jesus. So also we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Can you see the importance of why Christ came? The power of sin is the law. You hear the law, sin comes alive. So Jesus is not dealing with the symptoms of sin. He's dealing with the root cause. He needs to fulfill the law so that the law does not have that authority over people. So that now in him, people can receive the freedom, can receive the deliverance from the authority of the law because Christ has fulfilled it. So Jesus comes and he's born of a woman, humanity of Christ, but born under the law. Why? To redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls Abba Father. So we are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. Exactly what we've just read there in Romans chapter 8, and exactly what Jesus spoke about in John chapter 8, about slaves to sin, you have no permanent place, and that, but those who are in him, we have his spirit, we have a permanent place, we've been adopted, we have the whole reality of sonship, and so by the spirit, we now say Abba Father. So the law of the spirit that is working in us, that the same spirit in Jesus, Abba Father, is in us. So Father God, Abba Father is our reality. The reality of permanency in his family is we are so secure in this reality over there. It's part of the working, it's part of simply receiving by faith the life of the Holy Spirit within you and I. Because we are no longer slaves, we are no longer outside, we are now permanent residents, we are family of God because we have the Spirit of God in us who has set us free, and Christ has condemned sin in flesh so that those righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the Spirit. Now, as we get near the end of here, let's just look at the practical side. In James chapter 1, we see now here's a temptation. Remember now, we are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now we have the law of the Spirit. So with the law of the Spirit operating in us, that law of sin and death that's operating in the body, remember, sin has not been removed from our body. So sin is still in our body. It's called the body of sin. It's still, our sinful nature is still in this body of ours, okay? We are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our spirit is alive. The life of the Spirit is working in our soul dimension. That's the transformation taking place into the likeness of Jesus, being formed into the likeness of Jesus all the time, more and more and more taking place in that, as because that's the law of the Spirit operating in our soul dimension and so forth. And we'll see that playing a big role when it comes to the mind, because if we go back to Romans 7, how sin has captured our minds. Now we see in law of the Spirit, but our minds have been set free. It's not ruled by the flesh, but it's by the Spirit. And that's all part of the life of the Spirit as we move further on next week onwards. And so now you and I, we now are living our Christian life in Christ Jesus. But now we read here in James. Now James is a book that it's almost like Proverbs. It's like those short statements, da, 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 da. It's not like a long letter like Paul is writing, and that it's these short, powerful statements. And so verse 13, when tempted, No one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Temptation, temptavia, has two words. It means to entice or to test. So God tempted Abraham and said to him, go and offer your son. That's a test. It's not tempting him in the evil and that there. It's testing. It's a character. It's all that about testing. Here we're speaking about now the temptation to entice us to do evil, as Satan tempted Eve to disobey God. This is what this is talking about. And he goes on there, verse, but each person is tempted, enticed to do evil when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Okay? And so that's what you and I will face. Verse 15, and after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Okay? And so that's our reality. You and I now walking in the Spirit. Sin is still in our fallen nature, still in our bodies. Now we are walking in the Spirit. We are keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. As Paul writes in Galatians, as we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as you and I are walking in the Spirit, there will be, every now and again, the enemy will come, and every now and again, there will be that awakening to step out of walking in the Spirit, to step out of that realm of grace that we looked at last week over there, and to then to start with our mind, with our thoughts, to start to think, wow, I would actually like to do that. I would actually want to give in to that. See, so it starts with the mind. Okay, but those who are walking in the Spirit have their mind controlled by the Spirit. But if we are walking in the flesh, our mind is controlled by the flesh. And so this is where the battle is. So you will find there, in our journey of growing to learn how to walk and to allow the law of the Spirit operating in us. In that process, the sin in our body will have a voice, will want to shout, will want us to be tempted, will want to entice us, and want for us to meditate and to spend days thinking about that. And as our mind is not, every thought is not taken captive and placed under the obedience of our Lord Jesus, if we allow our minds to flow with that thought, that from that sinful desire within the body still, what takes place there, eventually what's going to take place over there, it's going to give birth to sin. There's going to be an action, and we're going to break away from obedience to our Lord Jesus, and we're going to move into the lawlessness. Remember, sin is lawlessness, and we're going to then do that which is contrary to the life of the Holy Spirit. And we will then conceive, and we will do that, and when it is fully grown, it gives birth to death, because it's speaking about the fruit of all of that, the end result of letting it begin to occupy in our minds. So we've got to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus, so that we can continually live in the reality of our minds being governed by the Holy Spirit, so that that law of sin and death has no say in our lives at all over there. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 6. He says, now, don't offer your bodies, because of the sin in your body, don't offer your bodies as a slave to sin anymore. No, because we are now a slave to righteousness. Now offer your bodies. See, that's all the time. That's the decision that you and I make all the time. We are faced with a crisis. That sin still in the body will want to surface straight away. No. This is where you actively have to renew your mind at this time and to accept by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your law is in me, your law of life. And as you and I appropriate that there, immediately there's the victory. Immediately that desire is squashed. Immediately that is put to death straight away there, because you're operating in the law of life that has set us free from that law of sin and death. And that's the victory. And that's why Paul writes there that in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. No power, the power of that sinful nature is no longer our reality. Christ has dethroned that authority. He's condemned that authority. And now in Christ Jesus, we have the victory. So this is, again, our Father just wants more and more for us to be established in this so that it becomes our day-to-day life. Every time you're finding yourself in the place where that sin in the body wants to surface, and it starts with the mind, with the thoughts, straight away, just put it to death in Christ Jesus. Just appropriate the law of the Spirit of life and just simply by faith, it's as simple as that. And just acknowledge, wow, Holy Spirit, your law is working in me. And I want to thank you. It's working in my mind. It's governing my mind. And you will find straight away, it's like a natural consequence of freedom. It's a natural reality of being able to continually walk with the Holy Spirit. And that temptation has no grip on your life. You're totally free from that authority. You're totally free from that power. That's the freedom. When Christ has set us free, he has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we are free from falling into that temptation and giving into that temptation over there. And that's the joy that you and I have. So I trust that this is just helping a little bit more. And our appreciation of what Christ has done for us. And as we shared there last week there, as we continue just in that simple faith in him, receiving what he's done over there, the door is totally open for the full benefits of Christ to be operating in us and through us in our situations. And we live in that, in the full benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we try in our own ability to try and do things in our own strength, to stop sinning in our own strength, to not yield to temptation in our own strength, all of that there, we're just bypassing the doors closed and that life of the Spirit, that law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, we don't experience the effect of that over there because we're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And we have life in the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We will not gratify the desires of that sinful nature. So, yeah, we're going to grow more. And next week, as we look at that, we want to go a little bit more deeper into this. And we will start there in verse 5. And we will start to see the incredible freedom in the minds when it speaks about peace and how God guards our heart and minds, etc. And speaks about that battle in chapter 7 where there's that military campaign, that operation of sin to conquer our minds. And we will see how more and more this comes in. So when Paul writes there that now we have the mind of Christ, we will start to understand how the law of the Spirit works in our mind dimension. And that then we will get later on to the body and so forth. So yeah. So God bless as we continue and have a bit of some communion with him as we just share and celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just have a quick prayer. Yeah, Father, again, we want to thank you. In our weaknesses, we could not save ourselves. Thank you for sending your son Jesus as a human, as a man, to fulfill the law, the requirements of the law, total obedience. We realize when he said to you, Father, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, see, but a body you have prepared. And you said, Jesus, I've come to do your will, Father. Lord, you have fulfilled the will of the Father, your Father, our Father, 100%, so that you condemned sin in us and we can be free because of what you have done. So we break the bread with you, celebrating your death that brought us freedom. You're celebrating the wine, your blood, Jesus, because it's for your blood that atoned for our sin. And so this morning we want to just eat with you, Lord, celebrating that we're no longer slaves. We're no longer outside the family. We're in your family as a permanent child of God, because your Spirit is in us, and your Spirit we say, Abba, Father. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your life in us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that even now you are actively involved in every area of our lives. What a place of rest, free from striving, just receiving your life. And the path from here onwards is, now unto you that's able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to your great power that is at work within us. And so we want to thank you as we just receive, Holy Spirit, your incredible life within us, where you will take us, the doors that you will open, the provision, the answers, our purpose in life, our careers, everything, everything, far more than what we can imagine. You take us into that fullness. And that's just simply resting and walking in step with you. And we thank you. But today, Lord Jesus, I think too, part of the great victory is that when we find ourselves coming into any form of temptation because of the sin that's still in the body, we can now live in the reality of the law of the Spirit of life that has set us free from the law of sin and death. And we don't have to submit to any form of temptation. We can now say no. We can now have the victory. And we can live in that freedom from that. So what a place to be, Lord Jesus. And in this, we're starting to see an incredible family of God that shines righteousness. Your righteousness flows through us because of the law of the life of the Spirit of God within us. And we're starting to see emerging this incredible glory, the glory of Christ in us coming through the family of God. So we want to thank you for the evidence. We want to thank you for the light that is shining and the breakthrough that is taking place, the evidence of your life in us, Holy Spirit. We want to thank you. So our Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Father, you so loved us that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for us. We were still powerless to save ourselves. We were still trapped under that authority. We had no escape. But you've done it through your Son, Jesus. So, Father, we acknowledge and receive and just want to honor you and thank you as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus with you this morning. The joy in heaven of your Son's death and resurrection we celebrate together. Amen. Amen.